This is the first of a two-part sermon. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I plan to do the second part. But today I want to talk about what the Lord is doing for us. And the text that was read this morning, Psalm 103, this is such a powerful message that the psalmist writes that we need to bless the Lord. From the depths of our soul, we need to bless the Lord. Now, what does that mean to bless the Lord? Well, it simply means to praise the Lord, to give glory to the name of God. Why? I'm going to tell you something about God. God is busy. God is busy. Now, some of you folks are some of the busiest people I've ever known in my life. And I know I'm busier now than I've ever been in my life. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do this work that we're doing here at Tanner. There's a lot of people. There's two elders and one preacher. And two of them have to be me, okay? And it's just the way it is. And there's just not enough of us to go around. I know that you say, Robert, there's plenty of you to go around. Don't go there, all right? But we're busy. We're very busy people. But God is busy. I want you to think about this. He's got a lot of people to deal with. There's over 7 billion of us on this planet now. God's got a lot of people to deal with. A lot of imperfect, weak, sinful people. People who are stumbling along through life. And I'm talking about His people. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about us and everybody like us throughout this world who is trying to serve the Lord, who is trying to live for the Lord. And yet we stumble along making a royal mess of everything we touch and everything we try to do. God deals with all of these people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, never gets a break. And He deals with each one of us collectively and individually. God is busy. And yet, God does something for every single one of us. He's doing things with us and especially for us. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight or this morning from the first 8 verses of Psalm 103. First of all, God is the one who forgives us all our iniquities. Have you ever sinned? What's the worst? Well, I know you've sinned, but have you ever sinned so badly you wonder if it could be forgiven? What's the worst sin you've ever done? The worst sin you've ever done. With Paul, who considered himself the chief of sinners, it would have been persecuting the church. That's the worst sin he ever did. He persecuted the church. He was involved in the death of Stephen. And he was involved in capturing Christians in Jerusalem and the region around Judea and putting them in prison. And he was on his way to Damascus to do the same thing there when the Lord got his attention. What's the worst thing you've ever done? The Bible says that God forgives us all our iniquities. All of them. All of them. Man, listen, when you become a Christian, God allowed the blood of Jesus to wash away every sin you ever committed. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." And then I love what Jesus says in John 6, verse 37. He tells us, admonishes us, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. God is the one who has forgiven us all of our iniquities. We should rejoice in that and give glory to God. Praise His name because He has forgiven us. And likewise, we must forgive those who sin against us. We must be forgiving because God has forgiven us and because He has forgiven us from so much. And folks, He will continue to forgive us. Every time we make a mistake, every time we do wrong, every time we mess up, when we fess up, and we straighten up, God cleans us up. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us by the blood of His Son every time we mess up for the rest of our lives, as long as we walk in the light, as long as we continue to serve Him, to surrender our lives and our heart to Him, giving Him control, letting Him be the one that tells us what to do and how to do it. When we turn away from God, we turn away from that. The only thing that can save us, it is God who forgives us all our iniquities. Now, I need to stop right here and say that obviously this has reference to the children of Israel. This has reference to them during the times of their wilderness wandering, during the time of their conquest of Canaan, that God was blessing them and with them. All the time that they were with God, God was with them. When they were faithful to God, He blessed them and took care of them. When they were rebellious against God, then He did deal with them, and at times very, very harshly. But the reality is, while these were promises to the children of Israel, and these were statements regarding the children of Israel, the application is still valid and true for every one of us today. The things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God is the one who forgives us all our iniquities. He is the one who heals all your diseases. We all get sick from time to time, don't we? Every one of us. This is one of the curses of living in this world. It is a sin-sick world, and it comes with physical sickness as well. How did you get better? When you got sick, how did you manage to get better? Did you do it yourself? I don't think so. Did the doctors do it by themselves? They did not. What about the drug companies and all this wonderful medicine that they've put out for us that are designed to treat us, not necessarily cure us? Now I'm getting political. What about them? Did they do it? No. God has made us amazing beings. David says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The complexities of the human body are beyond anything that we could ever imagine. How the body can heal itself. You cut your finger, and in just a week or two, you can't even hardly see where it was cut. How in the world could that happen? When you drop your iPad and you don't have a cover on it, when you leave it on top of your car and you drive around past Tanner School and around that sharp curve and it flies off and hits the road and shatters into a bunch of pieces, it don't heal itself. Apple just can't figure out how to make it heal itself. But we heal ourselves. Yeah, I'm confessing it was me. I did that. Yeah, I didn't bury it either. I've got it there as a memorial so I can remember not to leave my thing that's on top of the car. But folks, our body, God is the one who heals us. God heals us. Who is it that answers our prayers to get better, to get well? Our prayers for ourselves, our prayers for our loved ones. I know that sometimes our loved ones don't get well. I know that sometimes our loved ones die. Such is the fate of life in this world. And living in this world, we're all going to face that time when we're going to die. But until it's time to die, God is going to help us get better. Hezekiah was sick, even to death. And God sent word, you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah prayed, Lord, please spare my life. And God gave him 15 more years. It was God who healed that king, and it's God who heals you. Whether He does it by natural means and processes within your own body, or whether He does it as a response to prayer, it's still God who has healed all your diseases. Psalm 41 verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. It is God who helps us get better. Now, there's more to this psalm in the next point, so we'll get back to that one. But I want to go ahead and do that. Who is it that redeems your life from destruction? It is God. It is God. Have you ever had a close call? And I mean a close call. I told y'all about that time Faye was down here. She was leaving school, and she came down to the red light here at 31 and was sitting there waiting on the light to turn green. And it turned green, and she didn't move. She didn't move. She sat there. Sat there for several seconds. Not long enough for the folks behind her to start blowing their horns, but long enough to wait a moment, and an 18-wheeler came barreling through that red light doing about 60, 65 miles an hour headed south and would have killed her or anybody in any vehicle. Even a Humvee would not have survived. That thing was moving. She would have been right in the middle of that intersection had she gone. She did not go, and she does not know why she did not go. I know why, and she does too. And she had the same thing happen to her up on Elm Street the other just last year. Another similar incident where a truck came barreling through a red light. I'm telling you, folks, God is the one who will redeem your life from destruction. Now, somebody says, wait a minute, isn't that about forgiveness of sins and salvation? No. That's already been mentioned. He will forgive all your iniquities, but he redeems your life from destruction. You know, we get distracted when we're driving, right? Right? Now, you better not be texting. But I have straightened a curve out before while I was answering my phone. I picked it up and I straightened out a curve. And if it hadn't had a nice, large bed of gravel on the side, I would have ended up in a cotton field. This was up in Tennessee, so it doesn't count. Anyway, the point is, we all get distracted sometimes when we're driving. How did your vehicle stay in its lane? Or you narrowly avoid an accident? Have you had a bad fall with no serious damage? Yeah. fell down my stairs yesterday. Got a nice rug burn out of the deal. That's all. Some things, sometimes you fall and you break yourself, don't you? Sometimes it don't take much. It don't take much. Technically, grammaticians, my apologies, it doesn't take much. Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. Matthew 6, verse 13. And then listen to this passage in Psalm 41, verse 1 and 2. We read verse 3 a moment ago. It's about this man that verse 3 was written. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. Brethren, God's blessings are contingent on our serving him. Keep that in mind throughout this whole lesson. The blessings that God is giving are contingent on our continuing to serve him. And so he says in Psalm 41, verse 1 and 2, this is one of those contingencies about redeeming your life from destruction. Listen. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. This is the man who considers the poor. This is the man who is honoring God by taking care of his neighbor, by being kind and compassionate, hospitable in the biblical sense of the word. And so, if you would like your life redeemed from destruction, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord and praise his holy name. Give glory to God because he's the one who redeems your life from destruction. By the way, I have just got started. It's only 9:30. That makes me very, very happy. The battery is about dead in that clock, I know. I don't know what time it is, and I just don't have a clue. But the fourth point, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Double L's looking, saying, I can't believe it's only 9:30. I know, it's bad, isn't it? All right. God is the one who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. What does that mean? It means God is good to us. He treats us better than we deserve to be treated. He's interested enough to give us his kindness. And he's tender with us as a mother is with her baby. God is tender with us. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. In Titus 3 verse 4, beginning through verse 7, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God is so compassionate to us. The compassion of Jesus toward people serves as an excellent proof of God's loving kindness and his tender mercies toward us. And then the psalmist writes, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How do you feel after a good night's sleep? I mean a good night's sleep. Now I'm going to give you older folks, everybody above the age of say 50, this is for you. You don't need a bed that's so comfortable that you don't turn over and toss and turn some during the night. Because if your bed is so comfortable that you don't toss and turn in the morning, you can't get up. Because you laid still in one spot all night. Am I right? You know I'm right. But you young folks, man, when you have a bed that's so soft and comfortable that you lay there and you sleep all night and you don't even move, how do you feel the next morning when you get up? Oh, man. I feel like I could take on the world. A good night's rest. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To be renewed, to be refreshed, to be restored. This is the picture that we have of what God is doing for us. How God blesses us with all that we have and with all that we need. And I'm not talking about junk. I'm not talking about fine cars and iPhones and big screen TVs. That's just stuff. What I'm talking about is real. The necessities of life. Food, clothing, shelter, air, water, rest, sleep, renewed energy, renewed joy. God is the one who's blessing us in ways that Apple and Bill Gates and IBM and the drug companies and all the doctors and hospitals in the world can't possibly match the way God is blessing us. We need to recognize God and glorify him for the blessings that he is giving to us. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The next one, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Now, folks, just like this sermon requires some patience from you, you have to be patient and perceptive on this point. You're going to have to think on this one for a bit. Because it doesn't always happen immediately, does it? When the wicked prosper, the righteous ask why. I learned today of an incident that happened with a little girl. It was the book fair. Her mom had given her $20 to buy a couple of books that she wanted at the book fair. And she was so excited. And she picked her books up and she got up to the front of the line to pay for her books. And she reached, her mom had put her $20 bill inside a little sack, a little bag. And when she took it out, upside down, and the 20 fell on the ground fell on the floor behind her. Well, she held the bag out, and the 20 wasn't in it. And she looked and reached into her pocket, and when she turned around, the 20 wasn't there. Her best friend was standing right behind her and paid for her books with a $20 bill. That somehow she just found. And the little girl's mother, what? My daughter didn't do anything wrong, defended her daughter, and this is supposed to be good friends. It's not fair. Doesn't that make you mad? And this little girl didn't get her books, and she went home and cried, and she was so sad. Doesn't that make you mad? Doesn't that make you want to just, I know you can't slap that little girl, but don't it make you want to slap that mama? Of course. But justice doesn't always happen immediately. But you can know this, God executes righteousness, and his justice for all who are oppressed, it will be done. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God is saying, hey, you know, when somebody does something wrong to you, I got this. I'll handle this. You leave it alone, you'll only mess things up. You'll only make things worse. You'll only start a blood war or a clan feud or something like that. You leave it alone. Let me handle this. Justice, judgment, or vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Sometimes we have to wait a while for judgment, but God balances all things out. He doesn't forget his own. There's going to be a payday someday for those who mess with God's children. So you take courage in that, and you bless the Lord, knowing he's going to work it out. And if somebody does you wrong, let it go. Let it go. And bless the Lord. He'll make it right. He'll take care of things. The next one, I'm almost done. Next to last. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Now that, you say, what's that got to do with us? Okay, listen. God revealed his way and his will to Moses and the Israelites in the Old Testament. And God has done the same for us today. The Bible, God's book, reveals all that we need to do and all that we need to know to be pleasing to God. It's up to you to learn them, though. It's up to you to study that book and learn what God says, what God requires. But he has made known his ways to Moses and to the Israelites, and to us. He's made known. And my last point this morning, and the lesson is yours. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Merciful and abounding in mercy. Oh, we need some of that. We need mercy, don't we? Without mercy, we are lost, we are undone, we are without hope, we are in so much trouble without God's mercy. But he's gracious. He's gracious to us. He sends his grace abundantly upon us. We do not deserve God's kindness, his graciousness, his tender mercies. We don't deserve it. We mess up so much, and yet God is slow to anger. Have you had a bad habit you're trying to break? Yeah, well, God is slow to anger. He'll be patient with you, and he's abounding in mercy. Listen to this, folks. Patience, forgiveness, long-suffering. These are all religious words, but they're very good words. They're good for us. They mean that even when we make a mess of everything in our lives, God does not destroy us. He certainly has the right to. But he puts up with us, and he forgives us. And he's kind to us. And he withholds his anger from us. But he's only going to do this for so long, people. When God has had enough, he won't do it anymore. When will he say, I'm done with this one? I've had it. I'm no more. When will God say that about you? That's right. We don't know. That's why, my friend, you and I had better not play games with God. We'd better be serious about serving the Lord and keeping his commandments before it's too late. Now next week, verses 9 through 18 of Psalm 103, you can read those ahead of time, I'm going to talk about what God has not done to us. Today I've talked about what God has done for us. Next week we'll talk about what God has not done to us. And you will definitely want to hear that. But this is all the more reason that we simply have to do what's right. And we need to both fear and serve our God like he wants us to. And I'm talking right now because we don't know how long we've got. Jesus said it best in Matthew 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that's kind of a sour way to end this amazing lesson, but you need to bless the Lord and praise His name and glorify Him, because He has not dealt with you according to your transgressions. He has been slow to anger. He has been merciful. He has been patient and long-suffering with you and with me. And so, when we consider all that God has done and continues to do for us, how can we not bless the Lord? So I end with the beginning verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord for loving us, for saving us, for blessing us. If you're not a Christian, you're missing out on an abundance of blessings and an abundance of God's promises like you can't imagine. You need to dedicate your life to God. You need to become a Christian. You need to obey the gospel before it's too late. If you believe in Jesus, confess your faith in Christ and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. If you're already one of God's children, but you've not been faithful to Him, you've allowed Satan to come in and hinder you, distract you, or maybe you've just given up, maybe you just feel like giving up, and all you're doing is still coming to church, repent and rededicate your life to God. Serve the Lord while you can before it's too late. If there's a way we can help you today, we invite and encourage you to come. But by all means, come and bless the Lord by giving Him your life right now as together we stand and sing.